Leviticus 16, 1 to 10, let's read this out loud together. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he's not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash round him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat." This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you speak to us this morning through your word. Show us more of who you are. Show us more of who we are. And show us how we can enter into your presence and stand before you. Amen. It's not fair. I wonder how many times that you have spoken those words, thought those words, or heard those words. It's not fair. It's not fair that I always get the smaller piece of chocolate cake. Not always true that, but it's not fair that my brother or sister always has the toy that I want to play with. It's not fair that I really want to stay up playing, but have to go to bed. It's not fair the vote didn't go my way. It's not fair that some people get paid more for doing the same job than for others. It's not fair. We think it, we hear it, we see it all the time in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, in our schools, in our workplaces, in the news. It's not fair. And that's because we want everything to be right and just and fair. And we're going to see this morning that that leaves us in a terrible situation, but with a wonderful solution. We'll continue this morning to look at the book of Leviticus, which, quite frankly, has some really weird stuff in it, but it does show us how incredible Jesus is. One of the things that is in Leviticus is the tabernacle. You might have been wondering why there's a gazebo up on the stage behind me. That is to represent the tabernacle, which is a tent where God's presence was. So to enter into the tabernacle is to enter into God's presence. And a few weeks ago, we saw two priests called Nadab and Abihu. And they tried to enter into the tabernacle in their own cleanliness. And we'll remind ourselves in a minute what happened to them. This morning, we are thinking about God's presence and how we can possibly enter into God's presence. The problem we have is that we all have sinned. Everyone always has done something wrong. We've rejected God as a rightful ruler. That's what sin means, that we reject God. And the terrible situation that leaves us in is that that means we face death. So let's go back to Nadab and Abihu, our two priests. Here they were. These were priests. These were meant to be the people who acted for God's people on God's behalf. They thought they could be clean by themselves. They went into God's presence, into the tabernacle. And they ended up dead. There was literally nothing left of them. They found out the terrible situation we're in firsthand, that we cannot come into God's presence because of our sin. And we've just been thinking about that. We've just been writing that down on those bits of paper. Those are things that we have done wrong, how we have rejected God, whether deliberately, whether that's just ignoring him. Our hearts are unclean. We are rotten to the core. And to help visualize that, I've asked Rachel to come and wear a unclean t-shirt. She hasn't seen this beforehand. Do you want to stand by him outside? It's a lesson for not agreeing to do something until you know what you've agreed to do. Sorry, Rachel. This is our hearts. However good we look on the outside, our hearts are unclean. In fact, to be fair, if it really was our hearts, the entire t-shirt would be covered with mud. But I thought that'd be going a bit too far. Our hearts are unclean. Our hearts are rotten. We're all in this terrible situation. Which leaves us with the question, how on earth can we enter into God's presence? Either now or forever. And I've got another equation for that. Apologies if you don't like equations. I love mathematics, so I like equations. So you get stuck with that this morning. We still have God's presence. And we still have human sin. We can't just get rid of human sin. We know it's there. We know we all sin. But this time, we add in something else. This time, we add in atonement. And atonement is a fancy word that means making things right. And if we add an atonement to the equation, then the outcome is different. Then the outcome to this equation, rather than death, is life. Now I guess both those equations seem right. If we're trying to come into God's presence, and God is such a clean and pure God, but we are sinful, it's right that actually death is the outcome. It's also right and just that if things are made right, the outcome is different and the outcome is life. So the question is, how on earth can we go from facing death to having life? How does atonement work? And that's what our passage this morning shows us. We have seen in Leviticus over the last few weeks a system of sacrifices for how we can go from being unclean to wearing a nice, clean white t-shirt like this one. And it's a system of sacrifice that God put in place. But unfortunately, it didn't cover all of the sins of Israel. It was never going to be enough. So once a year, there was a day of atonement. And this day was meant to clean Israel for that year. It was meant to deal with all of the sins of Israel. And it was a wonderful day. And it involved several animals. I've got three here. We've got a bull, we'll say, and two goats. So the question is, why on earth were there these three animals? Well, firstly, the bull. The priest's job in Leviticus was to make things right between God and the people of Israel. The problem was, things weren't right between God and the priest. So things firstly had to be dealt with between God and the priest. The bull had to take the punishment for the priest's sins. The bull had to be sacrificed. Then we get to the goats. So the priest can now make things right between God and the people of Israel, because things have been made right between God and the priest. And we come to two goats. But before we get to them, I just want us to think about how serious sin is. I often make light of it. I often don't think of myself as being that bad. So let's just pause for a second. My mother is a very clean person. Here's a picture of my mother, if you can see it in the sun, along with my daughter. You can probably work out which is which. Hopefully you can. My mum, every night before she goes to bed, cleans the kitchen floor. I've no idea why she does it, but she does it. One day, she was out having a meal with some friends in the evening, and me and my dad thought we'd do a lovely thing for her. We thought we'd clean the kitchen floor. So we swept the kitchen floor, we took half an hour to find where the mop was, and then mopped the kitchen floor. It looked beautiful. I've never seen it looking so clean. My mum walks through the door, she goes straight to the cupboard, picks out the broom, and starts sweeping the kitchen floor. My mother has ridiculous levels of cleanliness. But God's are so much higher. God cannot come into the presence of anything unclean. Which is why we're in that terrible situation. We cannot come into God's presence because we are unclean. And that is what the goats helped deal with for the Israelites. The first goat was to be a sin offering. The first goat was to deal with the sin of the people. It was to be sacrificed. Now you might be thinking this is slightly strange, that we've seen two animals so far and two animals being sacrificed. Leviticus 17 goes on to tell us that the blood of an animal is what makes atonement. It's the blood that makes things right between God and the people. And again, that is right. If sin is so severe, there has to be punishment for it. And what is happening in the Day of Atonement is that the animal was taking the punishment, so the Israelites, rather than being seen as unclean, could be seen as clean. Do you want to swap t-shirts, Rachel? Yep.
Yes, dirty.
It's very dirty. It is dry mud. Because the animal died, the Israelites could be free. They could have life. There's a substitution going on. There's a swap. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Sin is so severe that it has to be dealt with, and it has to be dealt with properly. And that involves the shedding of blood. So we're now in a great situation where the Israelites' sins have been dealt with, they're clean, but the sin is still hanging around. The punishment's been dealt with, but the memory of it is still there. And that's where the second goat comes in. The second goat was to take the sin away. The priest would lay his hand on the second goat. He would speak all of the sin of Israel onto the second goat. So the Israelites no longer have sin. It's now all symbolically on the goat. And the goat is then taken far, far away. Right the way into the wilderness. Let's see how far I can go before the microphone runs out. Put it there. The sin of the Israelites wasn't just dealt with, it was taken away. It was remembered no more. How incredible is that? All those things they'd done wrong, that sin in their hearts was completely dealt with and would be remembered no more. So that leaves us with the urgent question that if atonement is so amazing, if atonement is what makes us clean, why don't we have a bull and some goats here this morning? Should we quickly run and grab the bull and the two goats? Oh, hang on. I need to get this one. Oh, I knew that was a problem with that one there. Should we quickly run and grab a bull and two goats and start sacrificing? Thankfully, the answer's no. Thankfully, there's a much better answer than animals. And we see that in Hebrews. But before we get there, Rachel's wearing a nice clean t-shirt. That's not where we're at the minute. We're still unclean. We haven't seen how our sin is dealt with. Our hearts are still unclean. Our sin hasn't been dealt with. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 is looking back at Leviticus and says, "But those sacrifices are an reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Leviticus was only ever a picture of what was going on. They had to do the Tevatom every year to be reminded of their sins, to see how severe their sin was. But it was never meant to be the final answer. How could it, as the verse goes on to say, it's impossible for the blood of animals to take away sin. Human sin is so severe, animal blood can't deal with it. How could it possibly? So what is the answer? Well, Hebrews 10 goes on to say, "We have been made holy, that's clean, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ once for all." Leviticus was a picture. We have the reality in Jesus and in his sacrifice. Leviticus, though, does show us how amazing Jesus' sacrifice was. So let's think. The bull. The bull was meant to make things right between God and the priest. Well, in Jesus' case, he'd never sinned. He'd never lived a sinful life. He'd never done anything wrong. There was no issue between him and God. He was entirely clean. In fact, the clean t-shirt belongs to Jesus. If you look in the label, you will see Jesus' name printed in there. See? Clever, that. There was no need for the bull. A slight sorry for the bull. However, there was a need for the two goats. And that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. Leviticus 16 tells us what happened when Jesus died on the cross. First and foremost, the first goat. Jesus was taking the punishment for our sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he was taking the punishment. He was the substitute we need. He is the substitute we need. Unlike in Leviticus, where the sacrifice had to be repeated, Jesus' sacrifice was once for all. Jesus only had to die once. For all of our sin, forever. And that's what he did on the cross. He also fulfilled the role of goat too. Not only did he pay for the punishment to our sin, he took our sin far away. There's a wonderful song that says, "Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away." When Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sin. When he was buried, he was taking our sin far away from us. Jesus was taking all of our uncleanness. And dealing with it on the cross. And in return, he gave us all of his cleanness. So that we can be seen as perfect. We can stand before God in God's presence and be seen as clean because of what Jesus did on the cross. So I guess that leaves us to the question of where do we stand this morning? Well, if we are trusting Jesus' sacrifice, if we said, "I know I've done wrong, Jesus, thank you for taking that sin," then we know we are clean. We know our sin is dealt with, and that's incredible. But do we really believe that? Sometimes in my heart, when I sin again, I think to myself, has Jesus really forgiven that sin? Sometimes when there's a really big sin that's committed, I look and think, actually, could Jesus really forgive that person? This verse, "We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once and for all. It was once. It was enough for all of my sin, committed now, in the past, in the future. It is enough and it is for all. Our sin is so severe that it can only be dealt with properly, but Jesus' sacrifice is more than enough to deal with all of my sin, all of our sin. If, however, we're still trusting ourselves to be clean, if we haven't trusted in Jesus to make us clean, if we're still trying to do the right things, be a nice person, be kind to people, do voluntary work, and we're thinking that's what makes us clean, when we're still in that situation that Nadab and Abihu were in at the start, and we'll stand before God in ourselves, and it won't be a good situation to be in. So if that's you, can I urge you to look into the claims that Jesus made, to look who Jesus is, why he came, what he did, and what that means for us. And do it today. Don't leave it. If you want to know how to do that, do chat to someone near you. Do chat to myself or to Nick afterwards. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that we have not treated you as we should, as a rightful ruler of this world and of our lives. We know that this sin has left us with a huge problem. Thank you that you provide a wonderful solution in sending Jesus to be a sacrifice for us by dying on the cross. Help us see the severity of our sin and see the wonder of Jesus' sacrifice, and trust in him as the only way in which we can enter into your presence now and forever. Amen.